Hi there, welcome. I'm Stephen Baker, and you're listening to my Seek the Truth Bible Media podcast. Seek the Truth is a Bible media site bringing to you truth you can trust exclusively from the Bible. Here's a question you might ask from time to time. Should we live in fear and terror of the Lord? Well, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom or the beginning of knowledge. And that's the kind of cornerstone of the book of Proverbs. I've been doing a little study in the book of Proverbs, and it's an incredible book. And in fact, in the first 6 or 7 verses of chapter 1, you have an outline of the aims and objectives of the book of Proverbs. And many of the things that are listed there are very, very helpful. Indeed, it would be a great thing for everybody to read a proverb or a chapter of the Proverbs every day. When I was a young man, they used to recommend that you read a chapter of the book of Proverbs every day because there were 31 chapters in the book and the longest month in the year was 31 days. It's a good practice. It guides us about life, it guides us about behaviour, it guides us about morality, but it teaches us about God and his ways, and it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fear is actually a word that is used to describe reverence or worship. And therefore, this verse is suggesting that wisdom begins when we properly acknowledge who God is and when we worship him the way he deserves. So life's real significance is to be found and discovered when we come to God with an attitude that is humble and in awe of him, not with dread or fright or fear, but with reverence and respect. The Proverbs really then develop that idea so that we would learn how to respect and revere God in our daily lives. It deals with matters of wealth and accumulation of assets, the desire for things that are fleeting, as opposed to what the Bible says in the New Testament, unseen things, the spiritual values of life that God has provided, they're eternal. The unseen is eternal, the seen is temporary. It deals with the matters of work, gossip, and talk one with another. It deals with marriage and morality. It deals with money. It deals with laziness and hard work. And it gives us many, many guidelines for life. A wise person will humbly seek God's will and submit to it. A fool throws caution to the wind and does exactly as they want, just acting on their impulses. The Bible does say that many will ignore this, for in fact Proverbs says in Proverbs 14, there is a way that seems to be right to a man, but the end thereof is death. You know, to fear God and to give him his rightful place is a preservative. It would lead you to the point where you realise that God is holy and we're sinful. God is eternal and we're temporary. God is all-powerful and we're weak. God is in control and we feel so out of control at times. And it would really cause us to put into practice the words of Isaiah, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near." Should we live in the terror of God? No. Should we live with fear of God? Not in the way we think of fear. Should we live with awe and respect for the holy God of heaven? Yes, indeed. It would be a wonderful thing to come to understand that God is gracious and holy and kind, and we can know his blessing. Why is that possible? It's because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, to die for us, to bear the curse of sin, to suffer upon the cross so that we might be forgiven, so that we might have peace with God, so that we might be saved. May God bless you as you consider these things today. I've been looking at a little booklet that is entitled The Folly of Atheism, written by a guy called Fraser Munro from Scotland. Pretty good to read. You could get it if you're interested in buying it from John Ritchie, Ritchie Christian Media. I think you'd get it online if you looked at that. I'm going to go through a couple of these, not all in one week, but we'll have a look at one of them today. One of the points that's made here is that atheism is foolish because atheism ignores creation around us. You know, if you visit somebody's house and you go into the study on the desk, you'd see a globe You might see a globe, should I say. The countries and continents of the world are all named. The oceans of the world are all coloured and blue. The globe itself rests on a brass stand. On the globe, there's no date of manufacture, but no one would deny that it was manufactured. To say it wasn't manufactured would be crazy. The globe exists, and therefore it must have had a cause for its existence. The globe cannot exist uncaused. It must owe its existence to something or someone outside of itself. That's pretty basic stuff. Anything with a beginning must have a beginner. Now, I know there's always the argument that people say, well, then who made God? The reality is this, no one, because God doesn't have a beginning. It is essentially part of the character of God that he is eternal. And the Bible talks about God as the everlasting God or the everlasting Father. So anything with a beginning must have a beginner. Anything with an origin must have an originator. So if this is a true representation of the world, then it must be true of, you know, the physical world as well as a created, you know, globe that's sitting on somebody's desk. Now, we know this is kind of obvious. If I went out and took you to, you know, the Picasso that has recently been sold, you would know that the painting must have a painter, the sculpture must have a sculptor, a book has an author, etc., etc. But we say the world just began from nothing. It wasn't designed, it wasn't organised. But, you know, as I read this little booklet, I was very interested. I read a lot of this stuff. The stuff you can read about by a man called John Blanchard, really good stuff on this. And the stuff with to do with, you know, Answers in Genesis. There's all sorts of organisations that you could go get some stuff with Rose Publishing and a whole lot of stuff. Another guy that writes a lot on this type of stuff, The Case for the Creator, is a guy called Lee Strobel. It's very interesting stuff. So back to the argument. Many people say that we came from monkeys. And the monkeys came from lower beasts, and the lower beasts came from the slime, and the slime came from the water on the earth, and the earth came from complex gases that collided in a big bang, and oh, so on and so on. But actually, the question comes back to, if you think that is the process, and I don't, in the sense that I believe Genesis chapter 1, that God created everything. I believe the order of creation is very, very scientific. You could read a good book on that called The Genesis Enigma. That's all interesting stuff. But actually, just take at face value the argument of evolution and of the Big Bang and whatever theory you believe in, you've still got to come back to this fact. Who started the process? Who created the material? Who put it all there so that it could all start? So atheism cannot answer the argument about the cause. And it actually doesn't answer the question about design. Now, there's a man called William Paley, lived a long time ago. And he imagined himself walking across a heath and seeing and finding a watch. And if he examined it and saw how it was constructed, how it worked, he would see in it clear evidence of a design and deduce from it that there must have been a designer. He said it would have been illogical to conclude that this was the result of blind forces. Time, matter and chance could never have combined to produce a watch. No matter how long it took. In the world round about us, there is the evidence for design. You know, the more you look into a telescope, you see the immensity of creation. A microscope takes you to the intricacy and the detail. Every single cell is incredibly complex. Now, Professor John Lennox is from Oxford, a very famous guy, debates from Christianity, and he says this: every one of the 10 to 100 trillion cells in the human body contains a database larger than the Encyclopedia Britannica. You know, these are amazing facts that really point to a designer. Now, as a Christian, I believe that stacks up, but I also go back to the book of books, the Bible. We've been talking about that in some previous recordings, if you've been listening to them. And the Bible says about God, by him were all things created, and without him was not anything made that was made. In fact, it actually says that about the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus, Christ Jesus, came into the world, came from heaven, the third heaven, the uncreated dwelling place of God. He came into the world and he came to save sinners. And my prayer is that you might come to know him as your Lord and Saviour. Seek the truth, because there's truth that can be trusted is in Christ Jesus. You have been listening to Stephen Baker on a Seek the Truth Bible Media podcast. More information and contact details can be found on my webpage, seekthetruth.org.uk. Thanks for listening. Come again soon.